Welcome back to another episode of More Happy Life. This is Andy Proctor, your host. So excited to be here with you again. Today's guest is Dr. Melina Roberts. She is a naturopathic doctor, an author of Building a Healthy Child, TEDx speaker, and founder of Advanced Naturopathic Medicine Center in Calgary, Canada. She's recognized as one of the top bioregulatory medicine practitioners in North America. She is a leading authority in the field of naturopathic medicine, specializing in bioregulatory medicine, effectively treating digestive issues, complex chronic disease, and cancer. Dr. Roberts is a graduate of the University of Waterloo and a graduate of the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine in Toronto. She did a two-year postgraduate study in biological medicine with Paracelsus in clinic in Switzerland. So excited to bring all the really cool and super nerdy and amazing stuff that we talk about to improve your health from a naturopathic doctor standpoint, and the difference or the connection between health and well-being and psychology and health and mind-body connection. So many really cool things we dive deep into today. I'm so excited to introduce you to Dr. Melina Roberts. Welcome to another episode of More Happy Life, the podcast that will teach you how to trigger upward spirals of health and happiness in your life. I'm Andy Proctor, a happiness activist whose goal is to make your life more happy with science-backed strategies and powerful interviews. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. All right. Welcome, Dr. Melina Roberts, to the podcast. It's so great to have you on the More Happy Life show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Andy. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I've always loved to ask people kind of a funny question, but, you know, I actually quite enjoy superhero movies. And so, you know, I always ask, like, what is your superhero origin story that kind of brought you to where you are today with all the things we're going to be kind of talking about?
Well, I can tell you my origin story. I'm not sure if it's quite a, I don't know if it's quite a superhero story.
Maybe you don't think so, but I think other people will.
But, my origin story is that I was a kid who had really bad allergies and eczema, and I would break out in rashes to pretty much everything. And when I was about 13, a family friend said to my parents, you know, you should try taking her to see a naturopathic doctor. And they brought me to see a naturopathic doctor. And within a few months of seeing this doctor and following his plan, all of my allergies cleared up and my skin cleared up. And it was really amazing to me. It was like magic. And wow. And that was like my introduction to naturopathic medicine. So I had really firsthand personal experience with it. Although going through school, then I was sort of gearing up to go into conventional medical school. I wasn't really thinking about naturopathic medicine, but as I spent more time in the conventional system, I wasn't really seeing people getting better. So I wanted to see if there's another way. So I went and spent some time in a naturopathic clinic, and every single person who would walk in the door, I would ask them what their story was. And every single person had a success story. And I was amazed by that. And I thought that that's the kind of doctor, that's the kind of influence I wanted to have on people's lives. That's the kind of doctor I wanted to be. So I did some research into the naturopathic colleges, and I found out that there was actually legitimate schools for that. And I changed directions and went into naturopathic medicine. So that's my origin story. Yeah.
That's, I love it. It's a superhero to me. I think that's awesome. Changing people's lives, you know, saving lives. So that's really cool. I really highly respect healthcare practitioners in all, you know, areas. And so thank you so much for your time spent today with this and sharing the things that you've learned and that you that you practice and help people with. So you've had some really amazing success in your practice. So I'd like to kind of ask, like you talked about, you know, the different pathways, right? Like kind of the traditional medical model and then the naturopathic model. And you saw that, you know, more people were getting better in these other ways. And, you know, obviously, like I said, I have respect for all healthcare practitioners.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but what do you, what would you say that you are kind of doing differently than your traditional doctors or practitioners out there?
So,
that's kind of also like a big question, right?
Yeah, big question, but because I kind of even veered off from, practicing sort of how traditional naturopaths practice in that, when I was in the naturopathic school, my dad was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And I just started doing a ton of research into natural therapies for treating cancer. And I was amazed that there was so much information in scientific journals that were having success in treating cancer, and none of it was being used. And I, unfortunately, my dad passed away like 9 short months later, but that sort of started my journey in terms of researching into natural therapies for treating cancer. And when I graduated, I heard that there was this clinic that was having a lot of success in treating cancer. And so I went and actually joined this clinic. And what I found was that what they were doing was completely different than anything I had learned in school. And I found out that what they were doing was they were doing something called biological medicine, so European biological medicine. And the owner of the clinic said, well, you know, if you want to learn all about this, you need to do some extra training in Europe with this clinic and with this doctor who is Dr. Thomas Rau. And so I started to do, so I did some extra training in biological medicine, and I just learned a different approach to testing patients to see what was wrong and to treating them. So it was a very different approach than I had even seen in the naturopathic school. It definitely had some crossover in terms of naturopathic medicine, but definitely the testing that they were doing and the therapies that they were doing were very different than anything I'd seen. And so once I learned that, then I brought all that information back to Canada so that I could do that same testing, so I could do those same therapies, and really so I could have that same success.
That's really interesting. So, wow. So maybe I wonder if you can kind of give us like a tangible example, like what would maybe be, let's just say, I don't know, you have a patient who comes in, say with allergies, right? And they're trying to figure out, okay, what the heck's going on? Like maybe they haven't had them their whole life. And then like all of a sudden, you know, they hit their late 30s and they're just like, what's going on? Like, I feel like I'm dying or whatever, you know, like, but it's just allergies. Like, I don't know if you can give like kind of an example of like what the difference would be, right? Be with like biological, you know, medicine versus, the other.
Yeah. So, I tell you in terms of like biological medicine, what we're really focusing on are, I'm going to say like 3 main things. One is you're looking at terrain. So it's looking at the actual, terrain of the body. So the area around our cells. And when we look at terrain, we are not just looking at allergens or pathogens that are coming into the body. We are looking at how that terrain, that extracellular space, the milieu of the body, what kind of state that is in. And if that is in a healthy state, then we won't have infectious agents. We won't, our body will be able to take care of pathogens and toxins and inflammatory aspects. So the first part is like evaluating someone's terrain. And one of the ways that we can evaluate that terrain is with something called a dark field microscopy. So that's a prick of the fingertip, and we look at their live blood cells underneath the microscope. So it gives me an idea of what's going on with the person's internal terrain. So we're actually able to see our cells all clumped together, or are they nicely spaced out? How well are people absorbing the nutrients from the foods they're eating, including the minerals? And we also get to look at their white blood cells. So we get an idea of what's going on with your immune system. So lots more information about what's going on internally. So that's one aspect in terms of biological medicine is terrain. And then the other thing that we're looking at is stressors. So in terms of stressors, I say that there's six stressors. So this could be long, but I'll go through them quickly. There's food sensitivities, immune challenges, heavy metals, environmental toxins, everything emotional, and everything physical. So we go through and identify those stressors, and then we want to remove those stressors. Because what can happen is that those stressors are like blockades on our body's regulation or our body's ability to be able to heal itself. So we want to get rid of those barriers and allow the body to properly heal. So that's also part of what we'd be identifying. We want to identify and remove those stressors. And then the other thing that we want to do is we want to make sure that the organs of detoxification. So organs, we call them emunctories, but these organs of detoxification like liver, kidneys, lymphatic system, lungs, these are all ways that our body moves toxic loads out. So we have to make sure that all of those organs of detoxification are working really well so that toxic loads are not staying within the body, but they're actually able to effectively move out. So that's sort of the approach, which is a little bit different than you would see in terms of other medicine, other ways of looking at things, is that we're looking at the terrain. We want to also make sure that we identify, remove stressors from the body, and then we open up pathways of detoxification. So that would be more the approach. Does that answer your question? I know that's a long-winded answer.
I love it. Yeah. No, that's I love nerding out about this stuff. And I mean, my dissertation's about inflammation in the body and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, C-reactive protein, all the things. Yeah. So yeah, that's really cool and fascinating. I love that you call it terrain, that's fascinating. It's an area that I have not looked into. So I'm like intrigued. That's really cool. And I also love, because I study, social connection and how mm-hmm. that has an impact on health. And so there's this whole movement in my area called social prescribing, right? Which is interesting because you talked about like the stressors, like emotional mm-hmm. being one of those.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's like my advisor's research talks about how, loneliness and social disconnection is like, is similar to, smoking up to 15 cigarettes per day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's a real connection there. There's a real link. And, I think like what you're doing, right. And I don't know if you're like actually prescribing, things like social connection to help people decrease stress. But I love that is one of the focuses. So it sounds really, really, comprehensive and really interesting. And I love the approach. So yeah. So I'm curious, you said, that you had a personal experience with your father having, I can't remember which cancer,
pancreatic cancer.
Pancreatic cancer. So, yeah. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had this different approach to treating cancer, right, through this biological model. So in this context, like how do you now, like how do you view cancer and like other chronic diseases like that?
Yeah. So, and I view it from this biological medicine approach, which is again, different than what you would see in other ways, because I think that, I think in terms of conventional medicine, we don't really necessarily understand that the body has self-healing mechanisms, and we have to really embrace those self-healing mechanisms and allow the body to be able to heal itself. And for sure, when you're dealing with something like cancer, we have to move a bit quicker. I usually say we don't have the luxury of time, right? We have to just move a bit quicker in terms of changing things over. But we look at it from terrain. So we want to change that terrain over from being more acidic to being more alkaline. Cancer cells are able to grow and thrive in a more acidic environment. So we want to change that to being more alkaline. So that's a big part of what we do and all of our therapies are doing, are shifting that acid base, that pH of the terrain. The other thing that we want to do is we want to improve the immune system. So the immune system is like your army. It's like your defense mechanism. And we want to just make sure that our army is really strong and can actually defend our system. And realizing that probably about, 80% of our immune system is housed in our gut. And so we need to make sure that we're taking care of that immune system and making sure that that immune system is strong so that our system, that if there are cancer cells or any unhealthy cells that shouldn't be there, that immune system can attack and get rid of what it needs to get rid of and then be strong enough to keep what needs to stay there. So a big part is taking care of that immune system. And then the other one that I talked about earlier as well is detox pathways. So we want to make sure that organs of detoxification are working really well. If they're not working well, it means toxic loads are staying in our body and then they can cause the dysfunction and dysregulation. And so we want to make sure that organs of detoxification are open and moving toxic loads out. So really, like, all of our therapies address these different approaches in terms of changing up the pH, increasing the immune system, and opening up pathways of detoxification.
Yeah, it's super interesting and like so valuable. I think it's just so, so interesting. I'm curious what you like, kind of your thoughts on, with like from the standpoint of inflammation, I don't know if there's a lot of debates out there because there's a lot of research on this now, but what you think about like added sugar, like sugar in the system. I love sugar. I mean, like, yeah. I don't know who doesn't, yeah. Right? Like, yeah. But yeah. Like chocolate chip cookies and me, we just, it's great. but at the same time, it's like there's a lot of research on, this whole like sugar creating more inflammation and lots of different, dysregulatory, kind of processes that are not good. So, I'd love to hear kind of your thoughts just like off the cuff on sugar as a naturopathic doctor.
Yeah. So I would say that, that's definitely part of my, one of my recommendations is to remove white refined sugar from the diet.
So hard to do.
Yes, exactly.
If you shop at a grocery store.
But I can give you some tips to help shift that over. Yeah. Because I realize that's tough. It is an addictive substance. So it's not that easy to come off of. But the thing is that the sugar sets up an environment that allows cancer cells to be able to grow. You can also say like cancer loves sugar. So we just need to find some different ways that we can incorporate something sweet into our lives without having the white refined sugar. So I say that, we can have natural sugars. So we can have things like real maple syrup, raw honey, stevia, monk fruit. So you can have some of these natural sweeteners that you can still get the sweetness from without having that white refined sugar. Having berries like dark pigmented berries, you can still get that sugar flavor. And then you talked about chocolate, and so I'm a chocolate lover as well. But what you want to try to have is the chocolates that are the higher cacao, so the higher percentage of the real chocolate in it. It's a bit bitter, but then you can still get the chocolate in it. And then like you talked about cookies, and so sometimes you can have things like, instead of using white flour with it, you could use things like almond flour and coconut flour. So you can still make those cookies, and then you can have them with, the sweeteners can be honey or maple syrup or coconut palm sugars. And then you can use the
date sugar, maybe.
Date sugar. And you can use the chocolate chips that are the real chocolate chips. So we can still have those, we can still have those indulgence, but have it as a healthier version, right? So, and I find that once you actually take sugar out, you have less of those cravings. So it does take some time, but definitely our taste buds actually change as we remove sugar from the diet. And you get used to having like the actual natural sugars will actually taste more sweet to you. And then when you have the white refined sugars, you'll be like, oh, that's like way too sweet. Once you remove the sugar, and then even if you have just a little bit, you'll be like, whoa, that's a bit too much.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of my take on what you were saying.
Thank you. No, thanks for indulging me. I think it's just an interesting question I've asked myself, what my relationship with sugar is. And I think everybody has that relationship, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Thanks for going down that rabbit hole for a minute. And I guess maybe my last follow-up question would be, just to end the sugar question, is there, would you recommend for any of your patients, right? Just maybe going off completely, going off of even those other types of sugars, in the body, like, or decreasing those as well, like from, the date sugars and the natural sugars too, even not white refined sugar, but like all sugar. Would there be a benefit like to?
Yeah, I think there definitely. Yeah, ship? I would think that there'd definitely be a benefit to removing it. So, I usually suggest to avoid it, but I'm saying like, okay, but if you're having those cravings, then I'd rather you have natural sugars than you have the white refined sugars.
Got it.
So yes, in general, we would all be better off with not consuming any of the sugars.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Hard, but yes, thank
it's
you.
It's tough. Yeah.
I'm interested in the stuff, and, I was looking at your website too, and, really interesting, some of the things that you do, the therapies and, the testing too. It is different, than kind of your traditional doctor's office, right? Like kind of your CBC kind of, blood panel kind of a thing, versus like what a lot of the stuff that you do, in terms of testing. So, what are some of the tests that you think are really important for, people who are interested in this or who are interested in kind of, finding out like a comprehensive view of their health?
Yeah. So I mentioned the one, which I do with a lot of my patients, which is the dark field microscopy. So we're looking at your live blood cells underneath the microscope. Which
sounds so sci-fi, by the way. It's like dark field, you know, like, it's like dark matter, like in our blood, you know, I don't know. No.
Yeah. Anyways. Well, sometimes it kind of does. If you look at it underneath the microscope, it kind of looks like outer space. It's pretty cool.
Ooh, okay. That's awesome.
And then the other one I will run often is called thermography. So it's a full body scan of the head, the neck, the breast, the abdomen, which will include all your vital organs, and back, which will include kidneys. And we go over about 119 points with a really sensitive temperature gauge. And then we give the body a stress, and that stress is simply all of those points being exposed to a certain temperature for 10 minutes. And then we recheck those points. And what should happen is that all those points should be able to regulate themselves. If they can regulate themselves, then those tissues can heal themselves. If they can't regulate themselves, then we know that there's a blockage in the system, and then we need to focus our attention in that. Because the thing is that just because we have pathology in certain areas of the body, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's where the dysfunction is. So for example, just because you have a tumor in a certain area of the body, that doesn't mean that's where the dysfunction is. So that's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out where is the dysfunction. And that's what the regulated thermography helps to give us an idea about. And then another test that I will often run is something called heart rate variability. So it's assessing the autonomic nervous system. So it's the nervous system that runs in the background. We don't consciously control it. So there's two parts of that nervous system. There's your stress state, and then there's your rest, digest, and repair. So we're going to see how stressed is your body, how well can your body repair itself, and how are they in relationship to each other. Because one of the challenges is that if our body's too high in that stress state, then our bodies can't properly heal themselves. And that's sometimes a challenge to why, you know, patients can be doing all the right things, but they're still, their nervous system is still not properly regulated. So their nervous system is not in the right stage to be able to heal itself. So those would be like the three tests that I frequently will run with my patients.
That's really cool. No, I think that's fascinating. And I've been interested in heart rate variability for a while. I did a study using probably less than accurate measurements of heart rate variability recently. And we still got some really interesting data, but it's fascinating stuff, and it's so important, right? Like, it's such a great indicator of so many things in your system. So yeah, that's cool. I kind of want to just, I wish I lived closer. Come visit you.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's really interesting. And so tell us maybe also about some of these. And just so you know, too, we've had a lot of really great guests talking about a lot of the similar stuff, right? Like we've talked about, we had somebody who was an Olympian who talked about like their journey with Lyme disease. And we had somebody who, you know, was a nutritionist talking about gut microbiome health and gut brain access. And, you know, we talked about nutrition and anxiety and stuff like that. So it's, you know, this is really interesting for a lot of the listeners, you know, who have been in on all of this. Tell us a little bit about some of these therapies too. So you have, one of them that caught my eye was, mistletoe therapy. Is that, I know the benefits and research of, like, you know, kissing, for your health, right? Like, does it have to do with that, or is it something
else? It doesn't
else?
At all, but I...
Okay. So tell me, well, and you don't have to talk about that one, but I just noticed that was, made me smile.
So mistletoe therapy is actually a very well-researched herb, especially in Europe, that has been shown to increase the immune system, increase that immune activity against cancer cells. It's basically like a type of botanical therapy that gets injected into patients to help boost the immune system. You know, it has some different, you can use it for different kinds of therapies, but like a lot of the research has been done in terms of cancer care. So we use it quite frequently. So that's definitely one of the therapies that we use. Did you want to go through some of the other stuff that we do?
Yeah. I mean, maybe some that you like you said with the other, you know, treatments, but like with some of these therapies, what are some that you would recommend for, I'm happy to give you like a situation like, a while back. So I actually was exposed to like toxic black mold. Like, I don't know, it was like maybe 10 years ago. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if there would be any of these kind of treatments for somebody who has gone through that, or who maybe because they eat a lot of sugar, they have kind of, you know, the fungal overgrowth or whatever, you know, candida or something like that. Any of these therapies that you would maybe recommend for stuff like that?
Yeah, so we do a lot of different IV therapies, but one of them that works quite well for mold, mold exposure, mold toxicity is ozone therapy. So it's an oxidative therapy that uses ozone. What we do is we take out some blood, we mix it with some saline, we add some ozone to the blood. And then what we do is we give all of that back to you. And we typically pair our ozone with another oxidative therapy called UBI. So ultraviolet blood irradiation. And what the UBI therapy does is, so the blood, before we give it back to you, it goes under some UV lights. And the UV lights will help to also kill off anything that shouldn't be there. It helps to oxygenate the blood and it helps to increase circulation. So these two therapies work really well together. They actually work really synergistically together in terms of ensuring that this is an oxidative therapy. So in a lot of cases, like those in infectious agents, including even just like cancer cells as well, these are just different ways to oxygenate the cells and also get rid of things that shouldn't be there in the blood. So, and getting rid of any of that excess toxic load. So ozone is a great therapy for that. We have another therapy that we do in our clinic called Flowprezo, which helps to get the lymphatic system moving. So the lymphatic system, we call it like the sewer system of the body. It'll clean up all the tissues and then move toxic loads out. If it's not working effectively, toxic loads stay within our tissues. And often that can lead to a ton of inflammation in the body. So we need to get that lymphatic system moving effectively. And this can work for any kind of chronic illness, chronic disease, chronic ailment. And so we want to get, so the Flowprezo, you just lie in it. It's inflating and deflating, and it's helping to move the lymphatic system. So it's a really beneficial therapy. We have the infrared sauna in the clinic, which I'm sure you've heard of in terms of moving toxic loads out. We have something called PEMF therapy. So pulsed electromagnetic fields, helps to charge the cells. What they've shown is that unhealthy cells have just a low charge. So the same way that your cell phone over time would lose its charge, the cells within our body can lose their charge and then just not be functioning optimally. And this can put our cells overall into a unhealthy state. So we just want to make sure that we charge up those cells, and that's what PEMF therapy does. So we have that. We have something called local hypothermia. So we use heat, high amounts of heat in order to break down unhealthy cells. So it can work really well for solid tumors. Lots of different therapies that we offer, just depending on what's going to work best. And we kind of put programs together in terms of what's going to be the best therapies for these specific patients in order to get them better and on the road to health. In addition to that, we usually will also do diet changes and supplement recommendations too. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's super interesting. And I'm so just for the sake of the listeners who are all over the place, who probably don't have the ability to make it up to your office up in Canada. some of these things, I think, make me think of certain things that maybe we can do or we can apply, right? Like right in our homes or communities, right? Where, for example, the importance of getting your system moving, like the lymphatic system moving. Yeah. Like I don't do it every day, but almost every day I have this, it's like a mini trampoline.
Totally. Right? Rebounding.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. Rebounding. I couldn't remember that word. And so, thank you. For the sake of even just, getting that moving, right? Like just getting the
That's
lymphatic
system.
That's a great
way to move the lymphatic system. Yeah.
Somebody was saying that was like, 3 minutes a day of gentle, even just gentle bouncing is like the same as, or is like, I don't know, like increases your immunity by like 300% or something like that. And so I just say like, okay, I put on like three songs, right? That's like 12 minutes or like nine, so it's like, I get some good benefits there. And then you're talking about pulse electromagnetic fields.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this could maybe be a whole podcast in itself, but I've always wondered, I know this is kind of like, maybe this is a little woo woo, but like when different like weather systems come in, right? And like with different charges and like if let's say there's like a lightning storm or even like sleeping next to your computer or the Wi-Fi router or that have these like EMFs, right? Like we haven't actually had an episode on EMFs, which I think would be interesting. But what would you say, like, do you recommend, minimizing the effect of those? Does that have an impact on our set, like on us at a cellular level, like at that terrain, right? Like, do we
mess
with it?
For sure it does, because we are electrical beings. So we are affected by all of the different EMFs that are in our environment. So that'll affect how our cells are functioning. What's interesting is that like the earth naturally has PMF. So it has pulsed electromagnetic fields. And that's really what's recreated with these machines. But we can get the pulsed electromagnetic fields actually from the earth. So from us, because what we're meant to do is we are meant to be in contact, be connected with the earth on a regular basis. And that's how our cells actually get charged, is from that. And so there's things like grounding. If we could ground on a regular basis, that would be a way that we would actually be recharging our cells. Barefoot, walking on the ground, hugging trees, right? So swimming in the ocean. All of these things would actually help us to naturally get that PMF, right? So naturally get those charges. So yes. And actually one of the things you talked about was lightning. And lightning is actually the way that the earth actually gets that charge. So you're onto something there. That's not woo woo at all. That's actually shown, proven science that's how the earth actually gets recharged, is from that lightning. So, so all of those different weather patterns actually play a big role in terms of, helping our human physiology. So the challenge is that in our modern world, we are just not becoming in contact with the earth on a regular basis.
That's interesting. I mean, the Japanese medical system, I think, still prescribes what they call Shinrin Yoku, which is this kind of, I think it's translated roughly as like forest bathing. We're basically like go out into the forest, right?
And there's huge benefits to that. We get the electrical impulses from the earth, But there's also some benefits in terms of that forest bathing, in terms of taking in different microbes that help to diversify that microbiome in our gut. So there's lots of benefits to that forest bathing, and yeah. You know, just the, I guess the calmness of being in that environment, as opposed to being in an environment where we're constantly in contact with, you know, different EMFs. So yeah, I'd say that yeah, we all need to do some forest bathing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, I love that, and makes me want to go for a hike. So yeah. Barefoot. So you know, I just want to respect your time, and there's so many things we can talk about. I read a couple of interesting books related to this. One was called Mind Over Medicine, and then another one was just called Cured, that was specific to cancer, and like just kind of natural ways of healing yourself from cancer specifically. And anyways, but I think I'd love to, just for the sake of the people who are listening, who just are interested, who don't have necessarily have cancer, but who are interested in what can they do to prevent it, right? Like I don't know, I'm actually not sure of the statistic here of, like, you know, what are the chances of getting cancer, right? Like as people age, you know, I think it is kind of higher than any of us would be comfortable with.
Yeah.
So how, you know, I know you got into a lot of this because of, you know, that you lost your dad to cancer. But you know, also you probably wanted to prevent cancer in your own life, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So for the listeners who are out there, like thinking, how do I prevent cancer? Like, what would you tell them?
I usually say that we just need to go back to basics, right? Our realizing, and I think that we also have to like kind of get out of that fear mode too, because that fear mode is not going to help us to heal in any way. And realize that we are empowered, in that we have control over our health based on the decisions that we make. Because I think that sometimes we get kind of stuck in family histories and genetics, and thinking that, oh, well, you know, this is in my family. And if, you know, my parents had it, my family has it, then inevitably this is what's going to happen to me. But I think that we need to get out of that mindset and realize that we have control over our own health. And so I would say that we need to go back to basics. And so part of that is making sure that we clean up our diet. So there's definitely major inflammatory foods that we could be removing from the diet that can have a huge effect in terms of promoting health. The ones I go through are gluten, cow's dairy, white refined sugar, and industrial oils. Those are all major inflammatory foods, and we want to ideally eliminate them from the diet. But in the best case, we want to be decreasing the amount. The other thing we want to do is we want to make sure that we're drinking water. Our bodies are made of 70% water. So we want to just make sure that we're drinking enough water. And ideally we want that water to be structured, because that's what helps to really move that, get the fluids flowing in our body and put the clean stuff back in and get rid of the waste. We want to make sure that we're sleeping well. We want to make sure that we're getting not just great quantity of sleep. We want to make sure that the quality of our sleep is really good. There's lots of different habits that we can get into just to make sure good sleep hygiene, to make sure that we are getting good high quality sleep. So we're getting enough deep sleep is when our body does a lot of its cleansing, but we also want enough REM sleep and even enough light sleep. They've shown that we need all of it in order for our bodies to be able to function properly. And our body does so much healing in our sleeping hours. We need to prioritize that sleep. We want to also make sure that we're doing our best to decrease stress in our lives. I think stress is definitely a challenge, but if the more that we can mitigate stress, the better. And that stress can come from like that mental, emotional stress, but sometimes that stress is also you talked about it earlier in terms of like the EMFs can be a stress on the body, toxic loads that we take in through our foods and through our environment can be stressors on the body. So we want to try to mitigate the amount of stress on our system. And then our bodies are designed to move. And so we need to do what we can in order to move our bodies. And whether that is exercise or walking or doing anything that that moves our body. And I think that what happens in our world is that we live in these sedentary lives and we are just sitting at desks or sitting at cubicles. But really our bodies are designed to move and we got to make sure that we are moving our body as much as we can. And I think that if we get back to those basics, that then we can actually get our bodies into better health overall and prioritizing really those basics. Yeah.
Thank you. So that I love that list. And wow, I'm like, okay. I mean, I feel like I'm doing pretty well. Sleep, yeah. Because I just my first kid just turned one.
Oh yeah. Yes. Sleep. I know that first year. Yeah, you're not getting very much high quality sleep.
Yeah. I've been more sick this year than like I have in the last decade because sleep.
Yeah, because you're not getting your portion. Yeah.
Yep. But so yeah, but well, and there's so many other things we could talk about. It's amazing. I'd love to have you touch a little bit on some of the like what you've learned about gut health having an impact on you know, with cancer and just healing, right? Like you talked about like 80% of the immune system is housed in the digestive tract, right? So what could you tell us about, like how can we improve our gut health?
Yeah. So, and no matter what a patient comes into my clinic with, I always will work on healing up their gut because their gut is really central to good health. And, you know, one of the things we really like, I've really researched and really focus on is something called the microbiome. So it's that microflora of bacteria and fungus that live within our digestive tract. And in order for us to be healthy, that microbiome needs to have a balance of what we call healthy and unhealthy bacteria. And then we also need to have a lot of diversity in terms of those microbes. And if we can focus on making sure that that microbiome is really healthy, then our bodies will in turn be very healthy because that microbiome can define our health. And some of the ways that we can foster that good health is making sure that we remove things that would cause inflammation, like those inflammatory foods. So the gluten, the cow's dairy, the sugar, the industrial oils, all of those things would cause inflammation in the gut and damage that microbiome, including toxic loads like the glyphosates, the Roundups, the herbicides, insecticides. All of those things can actually damage that microbiome. So we want to make sure that we're cleaning up the diet, removing toxic loads. And then within the digestive tract is the lining of the digestive tract. And That microbiome actually is a protective layer in terms of the lining of the digestive tract. And what can happen is that if we have damage to that microbiome, then we can have these little holes in the digestive tract. So basically we have damage to something called tight junctions. So there are these proteins that hold the cells that line the digestive tract together. And then food that's not completely digested ends up in the bloodstream, and it can elicit a whole immune reaction. And this can actually cause a number of different problems in our system, but it causes constant inflammation and then causes an immune system that doesn't react appropriately. So we need to make sure that that microbiome is in good shape, that the lining of the digestive tract is healthy, and that we keep those tight junctions intact so that we have that strong gut lining. And then that helps to decrease the inflammation elsewhere in the body. So to me, that gut health is actually central to us staying healthy and for us to, and this is for all of everyone. This is for anyone. So this is not just for someone who has a chronic disease, someone who has cancer. For us all to be healthy, we got to make sure that our focus is on gut health.
That's really, that's so true. And I love that. And I think that, gosh, it's we could have a whole episode on that, which we have actually, which I love talking about that on this podcast. Thank you so much for sharing all this information. This is so helpful. I'd love to maybe give two last questions to kind of give before we have people share where they can kind of find more of your work. But two questions I have for you. One is, to give listeners a little bit of hope, like, how quickly can some of these changes happen in the body, like positive changes, right? Like when you do this type of stuff, like how quickly can the body start to really heal?
And so I think that what's really important to understand is that the body is constantly breaking down and building back up, breaking down and building back up. So as it builds back up, if it has all of the right nutrients and it has the right environment, then we can actually build back that gut health healthier than it was before. And in terms of like turnover, I believe that the gut lining, that those cells turn over rather quickly. I think it's like within days. So we could be building a healthy gut lining within days. In terms of our red blood cells, they have like a turnover, I believe, of every 3 months. So we can actually see healthier blood within our system every 3 months. So what we can do, so we can actually see changes. I would say typically with my patients, they may see changes quickly, but I usually say if they're following a plan and following it as close as possible to how it's prescribed, we will usually see changes within 3 to 6 months. So the more consistent you are, and that works with anything, the more consistent you are, the better the outcomes are going to be.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, that is hopeful, right? That's really hopeful. Yeah. And so the last question I have for you is something I ask all my guests, which is if you have any other advice for listeners who just want to be happier today, just want to have a happier life in this moment right now, like what would you suggest?
I feel like I'm probably going to say what other people would say, but, like, I think that we, like, one of the best ways that we can be happier is to live in gratitude. I think gratitude is one of the best ways for us to be more happy. And that can be being grateful for even just little things. It can be grateful for living in this present moment. It can be, you know, just looking at small things like being out in nature and seeing a flower bloom and just being like, how beautiful is that? And in that moment and just looking at the beauty of that. I think of even like you said, you have a new baby, right? And just looking at how the beauty of that child and how they are just learning and growing, and how amazing that is. And when you just like live in gratitude for like that present moment, I feel like that's something that will just help us to be happier.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. I love all of that. And so where would you like to, you know, have people find you if they wanted to, you know, learn a little bit more about what you do, even, you know, come do some of your stuff if they're in your area? Anywhere where you'd like to point people to your stuff.
So the best place to find me or find out more about my clinic is my website, which is advancednaturopathic.com. The place where I'm probably the most active is Instagram, and my handle there is Dr. Melina Roberts. And then I also have my YouTube station. Also, I post videos on a regular basis. So my YouTube station, I believe also the handle is Dr. Melina Roberts. And I'm always just posting like kind of new health information. So people can help, you know, just helping people on their journey to better health.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I love that. And I'm so glad for the positive ripples that you're creating in the world. So thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Andy. I appreciate you inviting me on. This has been great.
Absolutely.
I really hope this episode helped you to have a more happy life today. If you enjoy this episode, share it and let me know by tapping the stars in the reviews. You can also find me on Instagram @morehappylife or by going to morehappylife.co. Thanks for listening and see you soon.